for today, and thank you for the second opportunity to hear your word. We pray for your blessing to be with us. We pray for the spirit of understanding and the help of the Holy Ghost to multiply towards us. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Yes. My soul yearns for you. Pastor Fred is here again. It's good to see you, Pastor Fred. Wow. It's a blessing. Amen. And I see, let's get through this. San Diego nights. I see. All right. Amen. Okay. So this afternoon, I am trying to see if I can preach you for the last time this season from the little red book about demons. The little book on danger. If they are disturbed by our learning about them, then they should wait till we start casting them out. Hallelujah. Because all this teaching is not for nothing. We're getting better at recognizing and identifying them and fighting and winning decisive battles against them. Amen. So I am going now, I don't know, but I just felt I should talk about chapter 17, you know. And I just have a feeling like I shared this with you before, but I think that's what's on my mind. So I'm going to share this with you. Amen. So chapter 17 says, demons seek to influence human beings by thoughts, imaginations, and suggestions. Amen. The demons seem to influence human beings by thoughts, imaginations, and suggestions. Amen. Now, I think that largely we underestimate the role of the mind in the control and behavior of a person. You see, it is easy to believe it in other spheres of life. It is easy to believe, for example, that let's say the more educated someone is in a particular field, then naturally the more capable he is in that particular field. And so he is often given more responsibility and given a chance to take on higher tasks in that field and is rewarded with more and higher pay. It's given more remuneration for that. Do you see what I'm saying? It is not just that he does have the degree, but it is the implication of having the degree. You understand? But an exposure to a degree or even the possession of a degree is often lodged in the mind of a person. So essentially, the person is the same. It's the same individual. You know, he may have put on some weight or lost some weight. Do you understand? His height is probably the same, or has grown a little taller since he started, especially if he's doing one of those degrees that Gertrude did. You know, he could easily have grown taller by the time he's finished with that. Do you see what I'm saying? But you can see that all that investment is just into one part of the person, because that one part of the person is going to determine everything that that so-called degree has to offer, isn't it? Right. So it looks like when a human being loses his mind, you basically have lost the person, isn't it? So a person is largely his mind. What do you think? Yeah. You know, when people grow to a certain point and they suffer the unfortunate disease called Alzheimer's, that is the disease that takes away from people their memory and their ability to recognize anyone, isn't it? And it almost feels like the person is gone. It's a stranger sitting there, but they are not there anymore, you know. And people who have such relatives even sometimes don't even bother to go visit them, because they feel like there's no point. Even if I go there, he will not make me out. It's just there's no point. You want to be able to go there to communicate love by your presence, but the person's perceptors for receiving that communication or that message of love are gone. It's dead. So you cannot achieve what you went there to achieve. Makes people feel that it is not necessary even to go see such a person. Okay. So it shows you that the mind of a person is really an important part of the person. Do you see what I'm saying? And that must be the reason also why demons are interested, first of all, in a person's mind. Do you see what I'm saying? That when you are looking for the works of the devil, you know, I think that you must look perhaps first in your mind. Do you see? Look in your mind. When you're looking for the attacks of the enemy, do you see? There is a point at which it may hit your body, but I think that is a little more advanced. When it starts to show up in your body, it's a little more advanced. But the works of the enemy often start with the mind and with your thinking. Hallelujah. Even places where the devil has strongholds, strongholds in families, strongholds in places among people, groups, even cultures, and so on, the expression of the stronghold is often in the thinking of the people. The way the people think and act because of the way they think is how that bondage or stronghold is expressed. Hallelujah. So I was listening to somebody preach the other day, and the person was preaching about, you know, demonic strongholds and so on in families and all that. And he was praying for people to change the effect. You know, he was praying for people to change the effect of such strongholds on them, you know. And I thought that that is great, and it's powerful. But then I realized that, you know, if after receiving such prayers, a person does not change his thinking. Do you see what I'm saying? Then it means that it's only a matter of time before your thinking will bring you back to where you were set free from. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, because the devil seems to have the mind, the mentality which controls what actually happens. He seems to have a charge over that, you see, and that seems to give him power to control over a period of time. Progressively, he's able to increase his influence on the person's life until he has full and total and complete domination over that life. I think you understand what I'm sharing with you, right? So, you know, last week Bishop was preaching a message about the spirit of knowledge, you know. And I was listening to that message. I mean, he made some real powerful statements in there. Do you understand? And so I was thinking about that, and that's what got me interested in sharing this with you again today. You see, that really, you know, he starts from Isaiah chapter 3, where he talks about the spirit of knowledge, isn't it? That the spirit of knowledge. It says, let's read Isaiah chapter 3 and verse, Isaiah chapter 3. And this one, you know, I've almost finished preaching. Yeah, because I can see that you all just really understand what I'm sharing with you already. Oh no, it's not a bad thing. I mean, it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. I prefer that. You see, Isaiah, right? Okay, so go to Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter number 11, you know, from Isaiah chapter 11, I don't know why I went to Isaiah chapter 3, but okay, and verse 1, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. And a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall judge not after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. Amen. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Amen. Right. He said, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes. Amen. So you can see from this chapter here that the Spirit of the Lord, or the anointing, you know, seems to have most of its effect on the mind, isn't it? It seems the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Then he starts to say the Spirit of wisdom, which has to do with the mind, and the Spirit of understanding, which has to do with the mind, the Spirit of counsel, which has to do with the mind, and the Spirit of knowledge, which has to do with the mind, and the spirit of the fear of the Lord, which has to do with the mind, right? It's only the spirit of might, which has to do with ability, right? Yeah. But you see, the spirit, everything seems to have to do with the mind. And then in verse 3, the effect of all of this is that he will have quick understanding. That is the sharpness of the mind, or the effectiveness or efficiency with which it works. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. And he shall not judge. Now the mind again is thinking after the sight of his eyes, isn't it? Neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, do you see? But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, you know, etc., etc. In other words, to get things right, you see, like to do things rightly, as in verse 4, you have to think correctly. Do you see what I'm saying? Right. So it is interesting that it is not only the devil who is interested in your mind, but the Spirit of God is also interested mostly in your mind. Do you see the thing? Then that must mean that the mind is a very important part of a person. What do you think? It must mean that the mind is a very important part of a person. See, a long time ago, I remember an ad, it was, yes, where Michael Jordan was, you know, doing this ad, and they were using him to promote education or something like that. And he used to say that the mind is a terrible thing to waste. Do you remember something like that? Yeah? That the mind, a mind is a terrible thing to waste. You see? So the devil understands the importance of the mind. I once saw a book, I think it was by Joyce Meyer or so. It was about the mind being the battlefield of the mind. Because it looks like when God has something good, he places it there. When the devil wants to steal something, he goes there to find, what can I steal from here? What can I influence here? What can I also put here? And that's what's going on with everybody. Do you see what I'm saying? But if you are a certain kind of Christian, so I understand certain people need also, because there are some people who perhaps may not even be able to come up to appreciate this, to be able to understand that your mind is one of the foremost parts of you, if not the foremost part, that the enemy has interest in. You see, but, and so people would allow their lives to be dominated by the devil, and then when the effect is created, will need someone to deliver them. Are you getting what I'm saying? So they would need deliverance then from that. Do you see? But I think that we can take things a step further to bring people to a point where you will not yield or succumb to that bondage to make even that deliverance necessary. Are you following what I'm saying? By understanding how the devil works and his interest in your mind. Hallelujah. See, one, the fact that it says here, you know, the spirit, it says the spirit of knowledge. You understand? The spirit of knowledge. One of the things Bishop said in the message, that if knowledge is a spirit, then a lot of things in your mind are spirits. Isn't it? Yeah, if knowledge is a spirit, isn't it like what you know is a spirit? Huh? Then a lot of things that are in your mind are spiritual. Do you understand? Yeah, and the type of spirit will be determined by who gave you that knowledge. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So you can catch an evil spirit from what you read and from what you study. Yeah. And I believe that even a lot of the education in our country here, a lot of the teaching and so on, it has the effect of giving people a certain spirit. that makes them alienated from God and makes them antagonistic to God and to religion and to the pursuit of God for that matter. Do you see what I'm saying? It is a spirit that is put in people by the sort of education that is given to them. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. See, my daughter has been studying religion, taking a religion class, and sometimes she's sitting in the class and she'll be texting and saying that, I mean, the religion class here, the sort of things that are being said here. You see the thing? It's like the sort of things that are being, this man, the sort of things he's saying here, yeah. Now, there are some people who are there who are defenseless, really, at the mercy of that professor and whatever he says. Do you understand? But, you see, as somebody who has a certain spirit is addressing your mind, which is just a receptacle, you get it? Then you start to see Ezekiel 2:2, which is a verse that we quote to show how people catch an anointing, is actually a verse that explains how spirits are transferred. And the anointing being spiritual also is subject to that medium. Are you following what I'm saying? But it's not only the anointing that is transferred through that medium, but anything that is spiritual, spirits are transferred through that. So he says, and the spirit entered into me when he spake unto me. That is it. Yeah. So attending such a class and being continuously exposed to such a person, and the mind not previously trained, you see, and restrained by a different spirit, which also came in by a different knowledge, a different set of information that was resting, let's say, in her head before she even ever met that guy. Plus, she retaining in her heart an unwillingness to trade what she has for what she's receiving, then that spirit cannot take hold of such a person. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's what, that takes us back to what we were talking about this morning. That if the word is in you, if the word is in you, then the devil's things don't have a hold. Do you understand? You will soon see that the devil attacked Jesus Christ with thoughts and gave him ideas. But Jesus already had something there. Like when the devil came to Jesus and said, why don't you turn stones into bread? Do you understand? That was a suggestion. But before the devil ever came to say that, Jesus knew that it is written that man shall not live by bread alone. So I hear you, but what you are saying does not have and cannot take hold of my mind. It does not get to settle here because I think otherwise. Do you see? I think otherwise. My thoughts, what I know, which I am not trading for what you're saying, is that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. So it's true, I'm hungry, and the idea to make bread from stones sounds like a good idea, but I'm not going to do it, because that's not the only way forward. Wow. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So I believe that it is something that God wants us to understand. Hallelujah. God wants us to understand that, you know, one of the things Bishop says, he said, what the closest interaction you can have with the spirit world is in your mind. You see, and that is a very profound truth. Do you see? Which means that many of us have spiritual encounters every day just by the thoughts that occur to us. Do you understand? That means spiritual encounters, both positive and negative. We have spiritual encounters with the Holy Spirit, who also seems to bring things, the Bible says, to our remembrance. Do you understand? Yeah, that's right there. John chapter 14, verse 26, it says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, isn't it? And bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. You see, so the Holy Spirit is trying to access the same mind. So perhaps many times in a day, we do have spiritual encounters with the Holy Spirit. And many times in a day, we do have spiritual encounters with demons. All of them fighting for our thoughts, fighting for our imaginations, and fighting for things that occur to you up here. Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. Are you understanding what I'm teaching you? So that is why a person's mind, or a person must be very careful with his mind. Do you understand? We have to be careful with our mind. Now, it says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. Well, let's start from verse 4. It says, for the weapons of our warfare. Do you see? The weapons. All right, let's start from verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Did you see that? It says, though we war after in the, we live or walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. That means our war is beyond the physical, isn't it? Then it says, because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. In other words, how do I know that our war is not a physical fight? Because the weapons we've been given for that war are not carnal. I don't see anything in my hand, and I'm told that I'm at war. That war cannot be physical. Do you see what I'm saying? So he's saying that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. You see? They're mighty through God. Then to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. Isn't it? So if a big part of our war, which is not physical, involves the casting down of imaginations, then it means that a good part of the attack that comes against us in this war actually has to do with our imaginations. Hallelujah. It has to do with our imaginations. That a lot of imaginations are demons and spirits trying to find a way to enter, make an entrance into your life and into your existence by first knocking on the door of your mind. An imagination and a thought that is seeking to come into your life by starting something in your mind. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You see, look, I'm reading here from the book. Satan's entry into our lives is through the power of suggestion. When Jesus was attacked by Satan in the wilderness, he had to defend himself against clever suggestions. The suggestions of demons come in three categories. You must be aware of these three categories of satanic attacks that come to all of us, right? Then he starts to list the categories. Do you see? Then he says the first one is the suggestion to yield to fleshly desires. You know, the suggestion to yield to fleshly desires. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. We are constantly urged by the voice of Satan to succumb to our flesh. Jesus was hungry after 40 days of fasting. The devil urged him to follow his flesh. The voice that urges you to sleep on, to break your fast, to do immoral things, is the voice of Satan. Do not be deceived. This is the first and basic entry point of demons into your life. Amen. So, suggestions to the flesh, to yield to fleshly desires, an appeal to the mind, and they're persistently appealing until the mind breaks down to accept the value of the appeal. Are you getting it? Until the mind breaks, and that's what happened to Eve. Do you see? Let's go to Genesis and look at Eve, the story of Eve. The story of Eve is in Genesis chapter 3. Do you see? And Genesis chapter 3 has it clearly explained in verse 6 that when the woman saw, do you see, that the tree was good for food. Do you know? Now, at this point, she has not eaten it yet. But she agrees with what is being said. Wow. Do you understand? Right? It says, the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. This is verse 4. The serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Now, look at verse 1 of chapter 3. The Bible tells us the strength of the serpent. Wow. And the strength of the serpent is in subtlety. Do you understand? It's in subtlety. What the devil has more than anything else is not a physical power or might, but is in subtlety. Who can check the dictionary? Do you have a dictionary? Check for us the meaning of the word subtle. All right? Now, the meaning of the word, I think in my thing, I can just tap it and it'll tell me. The meaning, oh. There's no definition found. Okay. So somebody tell me the meaning of the word subtle. Huh? Hard to what? Hard to notice. Uh-huh. Or seen. Not obvious. Huh? Delicate. Huh? Acute. I think that's it. Difficult to analyze or describe. Difficult to perceive. You know, difficult to discern. Do you understand? Hard to notice. Something that you can't very easily see. Do you understand? Right. Now, if it is hard to notice, it means that it's hard for the mind to perceive. Are you getting what I'm saying? So it means that what the devil does, according to verse 1, now they're about to tell us how somebody was tricked. And the introduction to the story is telling us what strength is coming against the person. Do you understand? That it's not a stick that's about to hit the person. Do you understand? It's not a tree that's about to fall on the person. It's not a stone that is about to be thrown at the person. I mean, David did not kill Goliath with subtlety. He threw an actual stone at him. Do you understand? So the Bible is telling us what is about to hit this couple is a subtlety. It is a work of Satan. The devil is bringing his choicest weapon. So he says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. Do you understand? Now the person who majors in subtlety, which you say what is what? What? Not easy, what? Difficult to analyze. Or to describe. And you say it's what? It's hard to notice. And you say it's delicate and deceitful. Now, the person who majors in, you put all these words together, and that is what he is able to do more than anything else, or more than anybody or any other creature that God has made. And he enters the garden, and he's coming to ask a question. He says, yeah, has God said you shouldn't eat anything? Do you understand? What is going to trick you is if you don't understand that I am in confrontation with subtlety. That is what it is. I'm in confrontation with subtlety. But you see, if you are standing there and expecting this devil to take something to hit you, if you are standing there and expecting this devil to take something that you are not supposed to
eat and shove it in your mouth and try to make you take a bite out of it. You see, which is largely a lot of people look for the works of the devil in strange physical things that they can relate with. And so when they don't see one, they don't expect or think the devil is there. And sometimes when they do see one, their attention is so much drawn to that that they don't understand that even that itself is part of the subtlety. Do you understand? It's the lack of balance in your appreciation of what you should fear or what you should be concerned about. So that if you were to go home today and you were to see some eggs arranged in front of your doorstep, do you understand? You see, he's already tofiakwaing. You see, he's already saying tofiakwa. Do you understand? But perhaps a thought that must have occurred to him while I was preaching earlier. You see, that is what he should be more afraid of. That's the one he should have done this to. Do you see? But the eggs, six eggs, which you should have in another place. You see, you would have taken them and thanked the Lord and praised Jesus. You know that who gets to have six eggs at his doorstep in one evening? What a blessing. Angels have been here. Angels have come to my house. They've brought eggs to me. Breakfast is going to be supper tomorrow. Oh Lord, can you make them come again tomorrow? How we should have dealt with that. Collected them quickly and brought them to the fridge. Thanking God, speaking in tongues, and expecting, saying, Lord, will you do this again tomorrow? Do you understand? Because the people of Israel, they woke up one morning, there was manna everywhere, and they collected it. Do you understand? They didn't think anything at all that some witch must have brought this manna. That how come manna has come here? They didn't do any tofiakwa. No, I will not step here or anything like that. They collected the manna and they were just eating it like that. They said, this is angels, food from above. One day God sent quails all over the place. They didn't think anything mystical about the quails. They just ate the quails and ate the quails and ate the quails. So they couldn't eat anymore. They said, God, can you change it, please? But in our time, a mixture of superstition and especially a misunderstanding of where the devil's strength lies, do you understand, has caused us to look more at the physical things. We look more at physical, we are afraid more of things like a talisman. Do you understand? Something physical, like a bottle that appeared strangely somewhere. Do you understand? Those kinds of things seem to get our attention more. A thought in your mind cannot send you to pray. But a little bottle that someone probably accidentally left on top of your car can have you speaking in tongues all the way home. You know, sometimes these people who drink a lot, they finish drinking and they just leave the bottle or the can on top of your car. And you say that, here, you see, this is it. This is it. They have sent them to bring bottles onto my car so that I can become an alcoholic. You see, I make a three crosses around it, and I make the cross, and I sit there, and I start to pray to Shabalabalabalabalabala all the way. But as you're going, there's a thought that is resting in your mind, and that thought is more dangerous to you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. The thoughts. See, I'm not saying that all those physical things may not have the devil involved with them. But all those things, their power is not so much in their physical substance. If there's any power they have, it is in what they can get you to start thinking about. Do you understand? If the devil can show you this and it can start off a thought, that's where his power really is. Do you understand? But if you are able to just dismiss it, and it, that thought will not follow after that, then the battle is over. He's lost. Can I have an amen? Amen. How many can understand what I'm sharing with you today? Right? You need to watch your thinking. You need to watch your thinking. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You are affected and defined more by your thinking than anything else that anyone can do outside you. Hallelujah. You see, God took the people of Israel. He was offering them a place called the Promised Land. He was offering them a land. He sent some people in. They said, send some people to go check the land out. Some people came back and they said, wow, the land, it flows with milk and honey. Said, wow. And God has said it. God said, I'm taking you to a place that flows with milk and honey. And when the people went to check it out, they said, yeah. In fact, it did indeed flow with milk and honey. Then they talked about so many things. Then a couple of them also said, hey, but we saw some giants in the place. Then they went on talking about the giants. They went on talking about the giants. Then they said that we were now like grasshoppers in our own eyes. We saw ourselves as grasshoppers. And he says, so were we in their sight. Hallelujah. See, our thoughts rob us of much more and give the devil so much more power and advantage over us than anything physical can or will ever do. Hallelujah. If someone gives you something to eat and you don't feel like eating it, don't eat it. Do you understand? If you don't feel like eating it, don't eat it. It's not the only thing you wouldn't have eaten that someone gave to you. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, sometimes someone gives you something to eat, the food is too cold, you don't like it, you just don't eat it. It falls in the same category. Do you see what I'm saying? But the Bible gives us the power to sanctify things by prayer. Do you understand? God gives us the power and the grace and the privilege of sanctifying things by prayer. Hallelujah. So it's not in physical things. It's not in a tree. It's not in a place. That's not where the bulk or the might of the power is. Otherwise, the devil would have showed up in the Garden of Eden with a big shrine. He just moved towards Adam and Eve with something powerful in his hand. Do you understand? No, but he wasn't going to do that. So the Bible says what is about to hit the couple is subtlety. Something, the inability to present in a way that the mind cannot perceive. Beat the mind. And that's how the devil gets into their lives. And so in verse 4, it says, the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Do you see? Now, so this is now a proposition to the mind, isn't it? This is not an instruction to go take anything to eat. But see how it's going to win. Do you understand? See how it's going to work. Because now the mind is going to accept and agree. Hallelujah. The mind is going to agree. So verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, you see, she hasn't eaten it yet, but she agreed. So if another way to see is when the woman agreed to it. You put it that way. It says, when the woman agreed that the tree is good for food. I mean, this thing is good for food. And that it was pleasant to the eyes. And it is desired to make one wise. Then, now, physical action of taking the fruit to eat. Do you understand? So, this action, which is what we would usually wait to fight. This is the physical thing we are looking for. This action is a product of a victory here. Do you understand? This victory here is what is generating this action over here. Hallelujah. And that is how it is in our lives. before the devil can ever get you to be sick, he even starts you to get your mind to anticipate the sickness. Yeah. Anytime I've anticipated sickness, I've gotten sick. Yeah. Including recently. Yeah. Because as soon as I saw the woman and she came to sit down with her nose and her face and sneezing, and I said, my Lord, because I was going to be on the plane for 10 hours. And the woman was like, right? And in fact, she had been sitting where I went to sit. She sat there and moved behind me. Then I moved to sit where she sat. You understand? So the whole time, my mind was like, as for today, I'm dead. I'm dead. As for today, oh Lord, you know, then I remembered I had forgotten to take my vitamin C, which I normally take. That helps to strengthen my faith. See, when I take vitamin C, my faith just jumps up. Do you understand? But I had forgotten to take it before I got onto that plane. And so I just sat there and occasionally I'll take a look at her. Say, hey, this woman, you are sharing this thing for us. Wow. Are you surprised that by the time I landed, I fell ill after that? Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, so it all starts. You agree. A proposition is made to your mind, which your mind seems to accept and agree. You can understand it. You can relate with it. And you don't use any word of God. What I should have done was to have said, I don't care what you are bringing into this place. You come to me with all the bugs and germs in this place. I come to you in the name of the Lord. That's what David told Goliath. He said, you come to me with sword and spear. I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord. I'm going to feed your flesh to the birds of the air. I don't care what you have in your hand. That's what I should have been saying. But when I saw her, hey, at one point when she let out a loud whoop, I was in my eyes as a grasshopper. I knew that as for today, I'm done for. Hallelujah. Watch out for those propositions. Watch out for those things. Watch out for the spirit that tells you, as for you, you will never make it. Watch out for the spirit that tells you, you will never have a child. Watch out for the spirit that tells you, you will never be promoted at work. Watch out for the spirit that tells you, your children are going to be wayward. Watch out for the spirit that tells you. You see, it is just a subtle fight for a piece of your life. You see what I'm saying? And he's putting up the fight and suggesting it, and suggesting it, and suggesting it, and suggesting it, and suggesting it. Until you start to see, like the woman saw, you start to see that what he's saying is right. And when you get to that point, then you can expect that this is also going to come. Do you understand? The physical manifestation of what has taken place in your mind. How do you know it's good for food when you haven't tasted it? Except that you have believed the lie that the enemy told you. Can I have an amen? Are you understanding what I'm saying? How do you know that it's good for food? How do you know that it's going to make you wise? Only one person told you that. God never said this to you. God never said this to you. If you had taken what God had said instead, it would have been a direct attack against this. God said the day you eat it, you will die. This is not something that makes people live. It is something that makes people die. This is not something that makes people wise. It is something that makes people die. This is not something that is good for food. It is something that makes people lose their heritage. It is something that makes people lose everything that God gave them. That is what this thing is. And what Eve should have been saying to the devil was, this is not something that will make me wise. According to the word of God, according to what God said, this is going to take me down. It's not taking me up. That's how you win that battle. But instead, she agreed because it made sense. Do you understand? We have to fight against the thoughts. Do you understand? We have to fight against the thoughts. That's why the Bible teaches us, says we must screen the thoughts. We must screen the thoughts. Hallelujah. We must screen the thoughts. Philippians 4 and 8. It says, Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are what? True. Whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things, because most likely those are from the Spirit of God. So it's like different things are knocking on the door of your mind. And he says, this is how you determine who you should open to and who you should keep the door shut to. He said, run your thoughts through these filters. You have to question your thoughts. You have to address and you have to confront your thoughts. Do you understand? And compel all your thoughts to begin to pass through these filters. And it says we need to now think about things that are true, things that are honest, things that are just, things that are pure, things that are lovely, things that are of good report. Then if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, then he says, think on these things. Think on these things. Think on these things. Hallelujah. I believe that God is showing us in this week, God is showing us the power of the things in our minds. Amen. The power of the things in our minds. I mean, our minds are everything. You see, our minds are everything. You can even honestly believe something is right. But when you are wrong, you see that you suffer negative consequences. You are driving a car, you want to change lanes, and you think there's nobody there. The truth is that there's someone there. You look or think you looked, then you make a lane change. Before you know it, you are sideswiping somebody. Do you understand? That the fact that you thought that it was the case doesn't deliver you or excuse you from the reality of what really exists. Hallelujah. Our minds must be carefully guarded. Amen. Our minds must be carefully guarded. The easiest way to wreck our lives is through our minds. It's by attacking our minds. Sometimes we need to watch the devil's attack on our minds in how he presents people to us. Do you see? Sometimes how he presents important people, people who are important to you, are presented in a certain way to your mind. Do you see? For example, in this story, someone who has been so good to them. I mean, look at this woman here. She was born and immediately connected to a beloved and then to a wedding. Like from the place where people are born, the maternity theater or where, from there straight to her wedding. Huh? That's how good God was to her. Huh? God set up a garden and everything. Do you understand? Now somebody has come, and the person has come to tell you that no, the person who told you not to eat this, you know, he's somewhere. Do you understand? Yeah. The person who told you not to eat this, no, he has something in mind, something else. He wants to cheat you. It is because he knows he is God. He's afraid of competition. You see, he doesn't want there to be other gods like him. He wants to have a monopoly over knowledge. Monopoly over knowledge of good and evil. He wants to be the only one who knows what is good and what is evil. That's the true reason why he's doing this. So suddenly somebody who did, he gave you an advice on how to live long. God said, I'm going to show you how not to die. Don't eat this. That person rather is presented to your mind as the one who is behind your progress. I mean, your lack of progress. The one who is against your progress. The one who is making you not do well. The one who is making you not advance. The one who is making your marriage not work. The one who is interfering in your business. I mean, he's the one who has come to this place and is making things not be as they should be in your life. When he's the one who put it all together for you. Are you getting what I'm saying? And then she decides to ignore everything the person has been there and believe the lie that she's hearing. Do you see? And suddenly they eat it. And from that point on, nothing is ever the same again. Hallelujah. Nothing is ever the same. The relationship between them and God is strained. God has to drive them out of the place. And it doesn't end there. I mean, we are all still struggling from this problem which came. As you see, but I'm not surprised. Because what they came up against was something they were not ready for. And the tools that God had given them to fight that were the tools they didn't use. The tool of what God has said. Do you understand? The tool of what God has said. What God has said is the word of God. Hallelujah. The tool of the word of God. I tell you, if you're a Christian, you cannot do without the word of God. The word of God is something you must know, you must hear, even if you don't understand it. Even if you don't understand it. The word of God is something you must use a lot. Hallelujah. Because if you don't use the word of God, the things that will come against you, you are no match for the subtlety of the devil. You can see even before the story unfolds, the Bible now says, now here comes subtlety. It says the devil was more subtle than any beast that God. There was nothing that God had made that could compare with the extent of the subtlety of the devil. And that is what hit Adam and Eve. Hallelujah. It's a mind thing. Amen. It's a mind thing. That's what the Bible says. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against what? It says the what? The wiles. Wiles. Check the meaning of the word wiles. The wiles of the devil. It says put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The wiles of the devil. Yes? It says what? A trick. Devious or cunning what? Devious or cunning strategies. Employed. Look, read the thing properly. Because, you see, this is one of the words in the Bible that we've been running over. You see, we read all of these things and still are more afraid of medicine men. You get it? Someone in some village who has never, you know, done anything or who is just making incantations and saying all kinds of things that have not much power over you.
That ye may be able to stand against the...
You may be able to stand against what?
Devious or cunning strategies employed in manipulating or persuading someone to do what he wants.
Do you see that? I wish you could have put that thing on the screen. It says devious or cunning strategies employed in manipulating
or persuading someone
to do what do what one wants.
Yeah.
Do you understand? But you see, you can easily read that thing, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I said the wiles of the devil. I said the wiles of the devil. Tell somebody, we are coming against the wiles of the devil. And the but you don't know what you're talking about. It's just strategies. It's a mind game. I mean, you're coming against devious strategies that are used to manipulate an individual to do something that you want him to do. Have you thought about the things that are used to manipulate you so you don't pray? Have you thought about it? Have you thought about what is it that works against you so you don't pray? Have you wondered what it is that keeps you so busy walking around all night, going up and down, and going upstairs and downstairs, and going up and remembering that you didn't lock this, and going up there to go do this, you know, just to increase your mileage. So when you drop down, you're really gone. You don't know that that is a manipulation to make you wear you out so you can get so tired that when it's time to wake up, no matter how loud the alarm rings, you just won't hear it. So you don't pray. Or to keep people calling you. Yeah. To keep people calling just when you're about to sleep, then the person calls. Yeah. And they start a long, winding conversation, something that is of interest to you, of course. Do you think the devil is going to call you at 10 p.m. to talk about something you are not interested in? No. It is a waltz. It is a waltz. Hallelujah. So you see that a lot of us, it says a trick, an artifice, or a strategy meant to fool, trap, or entice. Wow. And he says you need the whole armor of God to be able to withstand this. That is why Genesis 3:1 said, listen, the guy was more subtle than anything. What is about to hit Adam and Eve is not a weapon. It's not some concoction. Do you understand? It's not a talisman. He's not about to throw something in Adam's food. That's not what is about to happen. But something is about to take hold of his mind. He is about to have a mental encounter that he's not ready for. Unless he stands firmly by what God said, he has no chance in that battle. Hallelujah. Are you understanding it? Yeah. I believe that God is opening our minds to a reality. Look for the devil. Look for the spiritual encounters in your mind. Look for demonic encounters with thoughts. Thoughts, negative thoughts. Thoughts that are contrary to the word of God. Contrary to what God has promised you. Contrary to what God said will happen when you pay your tithe. Contrary to what God said will happen when you are committed in his house. Contrary to what God promised you about your health. Contrary to what God said about your marriage. Contrary to what God said about your future. These are thoughts, 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 and thoughts, I tell you. And as the thoughts come, you must learn to pick them up. You must learn to send them back. You must learn to cast them out. It says, cast out imaginations. When you are casting something out, you take the thing, you bundle it up, and you throw it out. Amen. We must not entertain thoughts. We must cast them out. We must cast them out. We must, to cast something out, sort of, it invokes a sense of aggression. You get it. You have to, if you have to cast it out, you have to, it's some aggression. Somebody said, I was cast out of the room. What do you think? You think I was escorted out? Yeah. It feels like I was physically bundled and just left outside. Yeah. We must cast down imaginations. Hallelujah. And it says, and high things, and every thought and high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. He said, these are the weapons of our warfare are designed by God for the doing these kinds of things. Amen. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God for pulling down of strongholds and for doing these kinds of things. Hallelujah. Amen. I said amen. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So it's not a matter of today we are going to attack the wilds. I said, let us begin to look for and attack the wilds. Say, every type of wilds. I say, every wilds. You wilds. You wilds. I am coming. Hey, it's not like that. Hallelujah. Most likely, by the time you're praying like that, the wilds have got you already. You have already been manipulated to pray a prayer that will not work much. A prayer that is not effective. Hallelujah. So I pray that God will help us to keep our minds guarded against the works of the devil. Amen. Well, just a few more minutes. Just finish the other two types of temptations that comes to people's minds. And one of them is the suggestion to worship and serve something other than God. Says this is also a suggestion to choose the quick and easy route to your goal. You know, and this is where the devil said unto him, all this power and the glory of them will I give thee, for that it is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. Countless Christians are urged to live for money and other earthly achievements. It is the voice of no other than Satan which urges you to spend your life, your time, your energy, and your money on everything but God's work. Satan will not mind if you spend your money on politics, football, clothes, etc. Some people think that what I'm saying is too strong, but Satan hides in the darkness and uses Christians and righteous looking people to do his work. If you remember when Peter said to Jesus, you will not die on this terrible cross. We will do everything to prevent you from having such an unpleasant experience. That was the first and only time Jesus rebuked him publicly. Unfortunately, decent Peter had been used by Satan to suggest the need for self-preservation. Jesus showed us that men's craving for self-preservation is of the devil. Matthew 16 and verse 21 says, from that time forth, Jesus began to show his disciples how he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. You see, now here, because Jesus started talking about being killed, something physically bad happening to him, Peter said that must be the devil. You see, that must be the devil. Not realizing that the suggestion to someone rather not to sacrifice, that's rather the devil. Do you see? So the wilds got him. Amen. You see, Peter is thinking that as somebody is going to a place, where people are going. He said Jesus started saying what was going to happen. He said the scribes, he was going to these places and he was going to suffer many things, and the people were going to kill him. They were going to kill him. Immediately Peter felt that, no, this must be the devil. Someone who is going to make you suffer and kill you, that must be the devil. Do you understand? So that's when he jumped out quickly and said, be it far from thee. That will never happen to you. Not knowing that that rather, do you understand? A mind that, you know, you don't have to go through anything difficult. You don't have to suffer. You don't have to die for Christ. You don't have to lose anything from serving God. That mentality rather is where the devil resides. And if you and I were there and two people were talking, one of them was saying that something bad is going to happen, somebody is going to die, somebody is going to suffer, and then the other one is saying that, you know, I mean, don't do it, it's not going to happen in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, it's not going to happen in the name of Jesus. Which one would you have said? You would have gone and said, oh, we met brother so-and-so, he's such a brother of faith. He's such a man of faith. Why? Because so-and-so was standing there and was saying some things that were going to happen. They were talking about death and sufferings and pain and all kinds of things and so on. In fact, it sounded like he was depressed. I think an evil spirit of depression was hovering all around him. So I was just wondering what to do. What to then suddenly brother so-and-so just showed up. And when he began to say, be it far from you. Be it far from you. Be it all. Then immediately hope started coming. And we began to feel strong. And all of us were encouraged again. Oh, we thank God for brother so-and-so. Not knowing that he has the devil. Because we are so tuned to looking for the devil. Once it's a bad experience, that's where he is. Once something negative, something physical that is unpleasant is happening, that's where he is. And he can't be in a thought. And yet, you see, he's so subtle. He is in a thought. He is manipulating and turning the thought away from, don't sacrifice. Don't lose anything. Your service of God must not make you tired. You must not get tired. You must not get tired from serving God. God is supposed to be served with pleasure and joy. What is this service that you serve God every day? You come home, you are tired, you are beaten. Why? You must not serve God like that. Why? Are you the only one who is starting a church? Not knowing that that rather is the devil. Can you understand it? Yeah. You see? And Jesus said that, look, get thee behind me, Satan, because you are an offense to me. You do not savor the things that be of God, but those that be of men. You see, the ones that be of God, the things that be of God, you don't encourage those ones, but you encourage the things that be of men. Hallelujah. The things that men value are often things that are not of God. Please take note of this for your personal life. Perhaps men are urging you to do things, but God is urging you to die for him. We must have the character of Christ. We must take up our crosses and follow Jesus to Calvary. We must embrace the plan of God and not follow the deceptions of Satan. Say amen. Amen. Then the third one is a suggestion to misuse the gifts and blessings of God. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from thence, or from hence, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee. So now he is now throwing a scripture. He is throwing the scripture into the whole thing before you start. See, and that's another confusing thing for many believers. Do you understand? Especially suggestions that come from the devil based on some scripture. Do you understand? And that calls for discernment. Generally, if you have to deal with the devil and his strength is in subtlety and in wiles, then discernment is an indispensable tool for fighting him. You cannot do without the spirit of discernment. One of our regular prayers must be, God, open my eyes to see and to hear and discern the voice of the devil. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, because his job is to hide it. And so, to be able to fight him, you must be good at uncovering what he has hidden. Amen. Jesus had the power to use the gift of God to protect himself. Was he going to misuse this power at the suggestion of demons? Certainly not. This common category of suggestion, seeks to make you misuse whatever God has placed in your hand. God has given us, some of us, spiritual gifts, callings, money, talents, education, contacts, power, and influence. Most people with these gifts from God misuse them. Satan cleverly suggests that we use our God-given blessings on anything other than the will of God. This is why many blessed Christians do not support the work of God wholeheartedly, but support their own lives. This also explains why many men of God deviate from the call and misuse the gift of God. The power of suggestion seems weak and insignificant, but this is the principal access route of demons. I remember reading a very powerful vision of a pastor's wife who encountered exactly what I'm talking about. She received a type 1 suggestion from the devil. In this vision, Jesus appeared to Kenneth Hagin and talked to him extensively on the subject of demons and how they get hold of people. In the vision, Jesus told Kenneth Hagin that he was going to teach him concerning the devil, demons, and demon possession. Jesus then opened the realm of the spirit to Kenneth Hagin, and he saw a woman whom he recognized but did not know personally. This lady was a pastor's wife who was in the ministry with her husband. She had a great singing ability, but she had left her husband and gone off on her way. Jesus explained to Kenneth Hagin that this woman was a child of God until one day the devil came to her. As Jesus said this, Kenneth Hagin saw in the spirit what looked like a little monkey come to sit on the shoulder of this pastor's wife and whisper something in her ear. Do you see? Jesus told Kenneth Hagin that the demon told the pastor's wife that she was a beautiful woman who had been robbed in life, and that if she were in the world, she would have had fame, fortune, and popularity. In the vision, the woman recognized the thought as coming from the devil, so she rebuked the demon, and as she did so, Kenneth Hagin saw the little monkey jump off her shoulder and run off. You see, Jesus told Kenneth Hagin that by and by this demon came back to sit on the woman's shoulder and whisper the same thing to her. Every time, the pastor's wife would recognize the voice of the devil and rebuke it, and the demon would go away. Jesus continued his narration to Kenneth Hagin and said that after a while, the demon came back to tempt the woman. As Jesus said this, Kenneth Hagin saw in the vision this little imp come again to sit on the shoulder of the pastor's wife and whisper something to her. Jesus told Kenneth Hagin that at this time, the pastor's wife began to think the thoughts as well, right? She began to think that she was beautiful and that she had been cheated in life. Jesus continued to explain to Kenneth Hagin that when the pastor's wife began to think like that, she became obsessed with the devil's thoughts. As Jesus said this, Kenneth Hagin saw in the spirit that the pastor's wife changed and became transparent as if her body was made of glass. Then he saw a black dot in her head about the size of a half dollar coin. Wow. Can you see? So the devil has just suggested it and suggested it and suggested it. Initially, she just wouldn't accept at all, and it just won't work. Do you see what I'm saying? But as she hears it and hears it and hears it and hears it, but now stops fighting it off, she starts to believe it. Do you see? That's when now the thing has formed a part of her mentality. That's when Jesus demonstrated it by showing the woman like a glass. And you see the dot in her mind. It's like this thought is a piece of the devil. That's now become a stronghold in the person. Do you see? That's what the devil is going to try to see if he can grow it into what he intends for it to be. So Jesus explained to Kenneth Hagin that before, the devil oppressed this woman from outside. But as she listened to the devil, she became obsessed with the devil's thoughts. Jesus told Kenneth Hagin how this pastor's wife eventually left her husband and went off with another man. She went from one man to another until at a time she had been with 5 different men. As the vision continued, Kenneth Hagin saw a minister of God standing outside a hotel where this pastor's wife was lodging with another man. He had gone there to reconcile the pastor's wife back to her husband. In the vision, Kenneth Hagin found himself appearing in the hallway by this minister when he knocked on the door of the hotel room where the pastor's wife was lodging with her partner. He saw her in the vision come to the door with almost no clothes on. She drove away the minister, saying that she knew what he had come for, and that she did not want to have anything to do with Jesus. When she said that, Kenneth Hagin saw in the spirit that the big black dot in her head, go from her head down inside of her, into her heart, and down into her spirit. Jesus told Kenneth Hagin that at that point the woman had become possessed with the devil. Do you see the thing? So it starts as a suggestion that was coming, something from the outside. Then now that the person believes it, it has formed part of her thinking and is controlling her actions. Do you understand? And then the thing now goes even further. Now the spirit lives inside her. Do you see the thing? It's a very interesting story. I don't know. Do you find it interesting? It's very interesting. What the devil had originally brought to this woman as a suggestion embedded itself in her mind and eventually possessed her heart and spirit. This illustrates how Satan used the power of suggestion until the woman was totally destroyed. Amen. So, ladies and gentlemen, I believe the message is very clear today. And God is showing us that we need to watch things that come to us just as a suggestion, a thought that continuously comes to you, a suggestion that's always sitting just right outside your mind. It just keeps coming to you and keeps coming to you. You need to be careful. Some of those thoughts are demons, evil spirits, and they must be rebuked. Amen. They must be rebuked, they must be addressed, they must be confronted with strength and with the word of God. Amen? You must look, search the scriptures, or even ask. You can ask, what scripture is against this? Amen? And somebody will help you. Hallelujah. Ask the right person, somebody will help you. What scripture is against this? I feel like divorcing my husband. What scripture is against it? A lot of thoughts have been occurring to me lately that I must get rid of this man. What scriptures are against me, or what scriptures can you help me with this? Do you see what I'm saying? And then when you start to use the scriptures against the thoughts, you will find that the demon will run away. But he will come back. Expect him to come back. Hallelujah. But don't be afraid of a demon that comes back. Because what sent him away the first time, if you still have it, will send him away again. Hallelujah. What keeps sending demons away is the same thing, which is the word of God. That's what demons are afraid of. That's why Jesus said, continue in my word, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth will set you free each time, because the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Hallelujah. So let's have victory in our minds, and we'll have victory in our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. Wow. Father, we thank you for today, and thank you so much for another opportunity in the Word. Thank you for your blessing, for all the things you have taught us. Thank you, Lord, for revealing to us the manipulations of the devil, the tricks of the devil. And thank you for teaching us how to look for evil spirits and attacks of the devil. Seeds planted by the enemy that he is watching carefully, hoping to reap a harvest of eviction from the place that God has appointed for us. We declare that we will not fall victim to any such tricks in the name of Jesus. That by your grace and by your help, and by the insight you give to us, and through the opportunities you give us even to work for you, that none of us gathered here today will fall prey to any of these works of darkness in the name of Jesus. That we will continue to be strong, that we will continue to believe, we'll continue to trust you, and we'll continue to press forward in the things of God. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. I pray for anyone today who is under any kind of demonic assault, any kind of demonic attack, in the name of Jesus, that they be liberated and strengthened against such future attacks. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray, O God, that you will set them free from an evil mentality. Set them free, O God, from an evil way of thinking. Of thinking about themselves, of thinking about their future, of thinking about the church, of thinking about their relationship with you, of thinking about their relationship with others, of thinking about other important people that you have placed in their lives. In the name of Jesus, may our relationships not be attacked. In the name of Jesus Christ, deliver our vital relationships from these attacks, O God. Important relationships you have given us, help us to preserve them. Help us to preserve them. Help us to preserve them. Deliver us from negative thoughts that ruin such relationships in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Clap your hands properly for Jesus. Amen. I will never be the same again. I'll never return. I close the door. I'll walk the path. I'll run the race. And I will never be the same again. I'll never be the same again. I'll never return. I'll close the door. I'll walk the path. I'll run the race. And I will never be the same again. Fall like fire. Fall like fire, so like rain, flow like mighty waters, again and again, sweep away the dark, burn away the chaff, and let a flame burn.
Thank you, Lord, again for your blessing in Jesus' name.